W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movies, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. This is episode 3. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're going to be talking about meeting our faves, meeting our celeb idols, meeting celebs in general, people we watch on the internet, just meeting people we admire. And how that's went for us, and our best advice about when that you meet your faves, the bad experiences we've had because of certain things, and the great experiences we've had. That sort of discussion is what we're going to be discussing today.
It's a very anxious moment.
I just got anxious just trying to explain it.
Just all the memories are flooding you as you remember.
They're just flooding. I'm just thinking about them. And I'm like, I can't even think of words just trying to explain what we're going to talk about.
Celebrity encounters. It can be a weird time.
Stressful.
And we are excited. Exciting. Yes. And we are excited to share those stories with you.
And kind of some do's, don'ts, advices, you know.
Yeah.
I know words, usually. Mm-hmm. But before we get into our big main discussion about meeting our faves, people we admire from the interwebs or the movies or TV, we're going to get into our Snap Crackle pop culture news. And the first item we have on the agenda today is one I put in here. Lin-Manuel Miranda has been cast as Hermes in the Percy Jackson and the Olympians TV show on Disney Plus. I was very excited to see that he's in the show. Honestly, it's been so long since I read the first book. I'm like, how much of a role does Hermes play? But I'm sure everything will be kind of expanded in the TV show.
Poseidon is Percy Jackson's dad, right?
Well, yeah. Okay, Hermes is Luke's dad. So now that I think about it, maybe he does play a bigger role. What's next?
Okay, so Marvel News, Audrey Plaza was cast in Agatha Harkness' Coven of Chaos. And it's been said that she's been cast as a villain.
I feel like you have to explain Agatha Harkness, Coven of Chaos, because I already forgot who Agatha Harkness is.
So Agatha Harkness was the villain in WandaVision, which was the first Disney Plus Marvel television series. Agatha was put in a certain situation where she will definitely be coming back. She's getting her own Disney Plus television series, which is called Agatha Harkness, Coven of Chaos. I don't know if we're going to see what's happening in her life now or maybe more of like a prequel type of series to WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Everyone who has been talking about this, by the way, were like, oh my gosh, Audrey and Elizabeth Olsen are going to be like reuniting again on screen. And there's actually been no official word that Elizabeth Olsen will be on the Agatha Harkness show.
You know what would be perfect before I lose this train of thought? Elizabeth Olsen doing It's Me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. As Wanda.
Yes.
Like, perfect.
But anyways, I'm excited for that. That's probably one of my most anticipated Marvel shows coming out.
Last on our news today, Taylor Swift. Today in Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has dropped some remixes of Antihero with the Bleachers and I think a second one called like the Roosevelt. I didn't listen to the Roosevelt remix, but there's two remixes, I believe, unless they're both that's the same. I don't know, maybe they're one of the same. I don't like remixes. Every time I see a remix pop up, I get really disappointed because I think it's going to be a new song and then it's just a remix. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this drop of the remixes is strategizing to keep Antihero on the Billboard Top 100 because it's been on, I think, for number one for 3 weeks now or something. All right. So we're going to move on to our next segment. But before we do that, we want to give a thanks to our new patrons from this week.
Yay. So we have Sydney, a very, very hibiscus. I think she's concealing her identity. Caitlin, Erica, Sophie, Sailor, Phoebe.
Thank you to Camille, Rachel, Dana, G, Amber, Alexis, Andrea, Otto, and Leandra. It means so much to us that you've joined our Patreon community. Thank you for supporting us and the show. We couldn't do it without y'all. And it just means so much. And you don't have to be a patron to support the show. We want to stress, like, your support listening means so much as well. And if you want to help us out, you can tell a friend about the show that you think would love the show too. You can rate and review the show on whatever you're listening to the show on, whatever app, Spotify, Apple, anything. It makes a huge difference. If you're watching on YouTube / listening on YouTube, hitting the like button just makes a huge difference. So any of that, thank you so much. We're very appreciative. If you don't know about Patreon, it is a place where you can support creators in exchange for different perks. And we have a big perk called Fangirl Tea Time. It's an extra half an hour show that you get where we talk about more personal stuff. And there's lots of other perks up there too. So check that out. There's a link in our show notes. And yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's move on to
right now. What
right now? Natasha, what books are you into right now? What are you reading this week?
Okay, so I started the fourth book of Ice Planet Barbarians.
I cannot take this seriously. Every time you say it, I'm like, what? Ice Planet Barbarians?
Like, okay, it's popular because of Book Talk. I started reading it back in January. I'm on the fourth book now. They're like really fast reads. It's basically like if Avatar was like a spicy book.
You mean the James Cameron Avatar?
Yes, I mean the James Cameron one.
Oh my God. We gotta clarify.
It's about how these ladies were captured on Earth by these other type of aliens, and then they crash landed on the blue planet, the ice blue planet, and then these like blue aliens are sheltering them and keeping them alive because obviously they can't get back home, and each book is about like a different couple. It's just trash and it's great. And then I also started A Merry Little Meet Cute, which is by Julie Murphy.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, and Sierra Simone. So this is Julie Murphy's first adult romance novel.
Oh, I didn't realize it was adult. Cool.
Yeah. It's spicy. What about you? What are you reading?
I'm slowly getting back into Crescent City 2, which is Sky of House and Breath. Everyone constantly, I still get DMs all the time being like, where is your book talk for Sky of House and Breath? And they can't believe I have not finished it. But it takes a lot of energy for me to read a Sarah J. Maas book because I know I'm going to book talk it. So I do a lot of thinking. I do a lot of note taking. I have to be on. And I'm trying to ease back into it. I'm at the 40% mark. That's where I stopped reading. And I'm easing back in because I can feel that just reading ACOTAR, and seeing your reaction to me talking about ACOTAR, I'm now like theorizing different things that I was kind of theorizing before. And now I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm just going to be spoiled just by seeing Natasha react to me talking about things. I can just feel it. I can feel it. So y'all, please don't spoil me. I'm going to try to get that done before the holidays or, you know, honestly, I'll probably finish during the holidays. We'll see. If you don't know, we're rereading ACOTAR on this podcast. So we did chapters 1 and 2 last week. This week, we're talking chapters 3 and 4 at the end of the show, the very end. So if you haven't read ACOTAR, you can definitely catch up because chapter 3 and 4 are very, very beginning. Moving on to movies this week. I watch so many movies compared to my zero movies per week, usually.
I know.
Since Bellamy, I don't go to the movie theater because he has separation anxiety and I can't leave him here without a babysitter. So I only watch movies once they come on streaming.
I've been doing that a lot too. Usually we've been going and then I realized that Wakanda Forever comes out this weekend and I
can't even believe it. It came so fast.
I can't believe it. Well, because I've literally avoided every single trailer. This is the first Marvel movie where I haven't seen a trailer because you did that for Spider-Man and I'm like, oh, I should have done that.
I haven't even had to try though. I feel like they're not promoting it as much.
That's true. Like they haven't even been promoting it like on TikTok. Usually they have like a whole like front page TikTok ad. There's two movies that just came onto streaming that Alex and I watched this weekend. So we watched Barbarian.
What the heck's Barbarian? All this Barbarian stuff you're into this week.
I know.
Okay, sorry. What was it? What is it?
Barbarian is a horror film.
Oh.
But it's about this woman who rents this Airbnb in the slums of Detroit. And this guy, so he's also renting it. He also booked it at the same time as her. And the guy is, what's his face, who plays Pennywise on It.
One of the Skarsgårds.
Yes. Funny enough, it has the same plot as a Cat Graham Netflix romance movie. But it's a horror film.
Are you talking about the Villa movie?
Yes, I'm talking about the Villa. The beginning of it has the plot of the Cat Graham movie. And then it twists and turns and you really can't predict this one. And I actually really enjoyed it. It wasn't as smart as I hoped it would be. But it was still very enjoyable. So I give it like 7.5.
Do you remember Dave the Barbarian on Disney Channel?
No.
Barbarian. Dave the Barbarian. The cartoon.
It rings a bell, but I don't have a picture in my mind.
I was weirdly obsessed with it in eighth grade. And for my ceramics project, I made a cookie jar that was shaped like Dave the Barbarian. And you take its head off.
I feel like I need to Google this.
Just Google it because I can barely remember it. But you've really triggered my memory saying the word barbarian. I keep thinking the theme song from Dave the Barbarian. Anyway, so I texted Natasha last night that I'm watching Don't Worry, Darling, because it's on HBO Max.
Yes.
And she's like, text me back a picture that she's also watching it. And I'm like, I'm 53 minutes in. And she's like, no shit, I'm 53 minutes in. So we were basically watching it together.
We had no idea either, because that was so weird. That was so weird, especially with how weird that freaking movie was.
I know. It was a strange film. So I, with all of the people insulting Don't Worry, Darling, I was still very optimistic that I would like it because I love Booksmart.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite films. So seeing everyone putting this down, I'm like, oh, you're just getting down on it because of all this drama. But actually, as I watched it, I started to agree with a lot of
me too.
One being that Florence Pugh was out-acting Harry Styles to the millionth degree.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as much as I wanted it to pan out in a smart, clever way, I feel like there were so many plot holes and it didn't have a complete arc. Like, the movie ended too soon to be satisfying. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that Natasha and I were going back and forth like, yeah, and what is this? What even was this? Or like, what happened to this? Or like, what was this about? It didn't even... So it was a little bit disappointing. I feel like it was trying really hard to be creepy and then it didn't have a payoff that actually worked.
Yeah, I feel like the script was trash.
I mean, I feel like the script wasn't completely vetted. If you gave me that script, I would have been like, I need to know what happens here and here and here, or else this doesn't make any sense and it's not fulfilling.
It wanted to be like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. But it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't. It wanted to have even like a Lost sort of feel, but we don't care enough about the characters. We don't get a full enough arc for anybody to have that feel. Like, you start to get it, and then it doesn't complete the arc. You need another act after the end. You need another 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have made all the difference for me, honestly, if there was another 20 minutes. Sadness. there wasn't. I'm going to give it like a 6 out of 10. I think it was directed, honestly, beautifully. Mm-hmm. I think the problems lay in the script. That's where the foundation of the story is.
And we both watched Enola Holmes this weekend as well. What did you think about that one?
Do you want to talk about that one? Since I just went on a rage about Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Me too.
I still am trying to figure out if I liked the first or second one better.
Same. Because
I can't decide.
I can't remember it enough to decide.
There's so much Henry Cavill in this one, and like I adored him acting drunk with, that was probably my favorite scene, was her like walking up the steps with him. Oh, it was so good. Well, and like everything with like Tewksbury. Oh, it was so good.
I loved it so much. And then I just was like in tears at the end because I love an inspiring end twist, and I love that it was based on like semi-true events that happened.
Yeah.
I love Helena Bonham Carter's character in here, and I love that she came back. It has a great cast, and it's directed in a really fun way. Mm-hmm. It's got a really creative style, and it really sticks the style. Like it does it justice, and I love that.
Yeah,
I'd give that one like a 9.5 out of 10.
Same, I agree.
And, oh, I watched My Mind and Me, the Selena Gomez doc.
Oh, that's right.
And I cried, like, the entire time I was watching this. It was either because I was upset for her, or I was happy for her, or upset for her, mm-hmm. or I was happy for her. It was just a constant cry, though. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes in, I had to take a break. I was like, oh, my God, this is just, like, really gut-wrenching. And I need to take a second because I was just so emotional for Selena and her journey. It's definitely worth the watch if you like Selena Gomez or if you're interested in her at all. It's just, it's, it can be very heavy at times. So
not a good plane watch.
Probably not, unless you want a good plane cry, which I do enjoy.
No, I'm good.
And lastly, TV this week, I did not really watch anything except Love is Blind. You know what? I watched Love is Blind.
Alex and I watched, my twin brother and I watched Andor on Disney Plus, which is a Star Wars television series. We follow the character from Rogue One. What was her name in that?
No idea.
Felicity something. So Andor, we follow him, but like, I want to say 3 to 5 years before Rogue One takes place. They dropped the first 3 episodes the night it premiered. Alex and I watched the first 2. The slowest piece of television I think I've ever seen in my life. So we had dropped it because we were like, okay, we'll just wait until more episodes come out so we can maybe enjoy it more and we can get more of the story instead of just watching it, you know, little bit by little bit. And then I was seeing a lot more buzz on it on TikTok amongst my like creator friends. And so Alex and I watched it again, and it's so good. It's so good. You just have to get past like those first 2 episodes because it's a whole different storyline, because you kind of have to like get into the action. But it is exactly what I think so many of us like adult Star Wars fans are looking for. It's a smart show. It has so many different emotions that I think that don't necessarily belong within the films. A lot of like heartache and a lot of like suspense. It's not always a feel good type of show, but it's definitely like a gritty piece of television where like you're not like fawning over Baby Yoda, but it's a very mature piece of Star Wars content, and I think it's incredible and everyone needs to watch it.
All right, so let's move on to our big discussion today, meeting our faves, meeting people we admire. And I think we should start off with probably your most uncomfortable experience. And I think, Natasha, you should start us off so I can gather myself and feel less anxious about my stories.
Okay, when I was putting this list together, I was like, I kind of want to talk about like new experiences that I've had.
No, you have to talk about the old ones first.
One of my very, very first celebrity encounters, which was honestly a terrible time in my childhood, and I will never ever forget it. It was a core memory.
How old were you?
I think I was 7 or 8. We were at Disneyland with my mom and my dad, Alex and I, and we were getting popcorn, like right in front of the castle. And I heard this voice and I was like, I know that voice. As I look closer, it's nighttime, so it's really hard to see. And there wasn't a lot of people going up to her, but it was Amanda Bynes. And I told my mom, like, Mom, it's Amanda Bynes. It was like right at the peak of like
Amanda show. Please. Like, yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was such a big Amanda Bynes fan at that time.
Amanda, me please. Me too. I was
A Penelope Taint?
Huge, huge fan. Like, we had just watched My Big Fat Liar, I think, like earlier.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Frankie Muniz.
Uh-huh. This was my first celebrity encounter. So I had never seen anyone who I really cared about. And like, imagine like Amanda Bynes during this time. And
I don't even know what I would have done.
I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, that's Amanda Bynes over there. My mom was really good. My mom was like me, how I am now, where she was like just the easiest. She had met so many celebrities because she worked in LA for years. She went up to her and she goes, hi, Amanda. These are my children, Alex and Natasha. And she like shoved us forward. And like, we were like, you know, little at that point. And she's like, we just wanted to say like how much we adore you. And then Amanda with like her voice, she goes, oh, thank you. And I can't do it, but
that was a good impression.
And I just remember like smiling at her. I can't. And then my mom goes, and we loved you in Liar Liar. And I remember hearing. I remember hearing that and being like, Mom, no, my big fat, like in my head, it was like, Mom, it was Big Fat Liar. And then Amanda goes, oh, thank you. I think you mean Big Fat Liar. And she goes, oh, yes, yes. One of the liar movies, you know. And then I just like, stop.
You're embarrassing me, Mom.
Oh, it was burned into my memory.
Did you get a picture?
No.
Well, oh, no.
No, it was like, we didn't have cameras. Like, yeah. Mm-mm. So, yeah, we met Amanda Bynes at the popcorn stand on Main Street of Disneyland.
All right. I mean, it could have been worse because you were really little. So she could have just, you know, she probably was just like parents, you know, the kids knew who I was. Oh, my gosh. So many Amanda show memories coming rushing back. Me and Olivia used to steal my dad's video camera and reenact different things, scenes from the Amanda show. Like, Olivia would be Penelope Taint. Actually, I love to be Penelope Taint. She would be Amanda on the bed where she reads the letters. I think it was all that. Dear Ashley, that's me. Mm. Remember that segment?
Yes, I do.
Iconic.
What about you?
I mean, I feel like as far as awkward encounters, yours really wasn't that awkward. I mean, it was embarrassing, but you were 8, so it was okay. Like, I did not meet a celebrity, Natasha, until I was at least in college because I grew up in New Jersey and no one comes there.
You were close to New York, though.
Yeah, but New York had Broadway. As growing up, I didn't know the people on Broadway. Now, of course, I know Lin-Manuel Miranda and everyone from Hamilton, but that didn't come till I was older. I did not know anybody.
It's true.
So, I mean, the first people, honestly, the people that have been most embarrassing for me have been people that I really care about and I feel like I know because of the internet. Mm-hmm. So they're not exactly like typical celebrities. They're like internet YouTube people that I really admire and I feel like I have a parasocial relationship with. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's always this question that I think about now. You imagine like meeting them and that you'd be friends. But there's this part of me that's like, would I rather just admire them and have this parasocial relationship than actually meet them and blur that line in my head? Because sometimes it's great.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just like, I'd rather just be anonymously admiring them. Yeah. I don't need to meet them. Like, I love watching their lives from afar. And it just made it weird for me because I was weird. And now I feel like they're aware that I'm weird. That's like where my head goes. So it depends how the interaction goes. So one of my most mortifying, and it doesn't sound as, I mean, it was mortifying for me, experiences was when I met John Green. And I've been watching the Vlogbrothers since the beginning of Vlogbrother time. They're like my earliest memories of YouTube are watching the Vlogbrothers. And of course, John is also an author and I really love his books and all of that. And we were on the VidCon floor in maybe, I think it was 2017. And it was me and Jesse. And John Green was brought by Rosianna, who we know. She was like, oh, do you want to meet John? And we were like, oh, yeah, that would be amazing. We'd love to meet John. And she brings out John. head from like some area of the floor. And he's like, oh, hi. And we're like, oh, hi. And we literally, all three of us, stood there staring at each other for the longest minute of my life.
Why?
And no one said anything.
Why? Christine, you're really loud. Back up, back up.
I'm so sorry.
But this is mortifying. Have I not heard this story? I think I have. I don't remember.
I think I talked about it in one of my VidCon vlogs.
What do you mean you just stood there?
Oh my God. I literally forgot all words. And John is not good at these things either. I've heard his stories about it, about meeting various other people and being weird or just not knowing what to say. And Jesse is very quiet. And put the three of us together.
It's all on you. It's all on you, babe.
It was all on me, and my brain went blank. It just blacked out. I was like, hi.
Oh, and then no.
I kind of waited for anyone to say anything, and nothing happened. And they were like, thanks, bye. We didn't do anything. It was horrible. And like, I could have said, I don't know, I love the podcast. I'm like, I really love Paper Towel. Anything. Nothing came to mind. And then I think it was before this that I met Hank Green. When I met Hank, Kat and I were covering the Fault in Our Stars carpet, red carpet premiere in New York City. We are on the edge of the red carpet and we're just trying to call people over to talk to them. No one comes over on this carpet except for Hank Green. And we're like, oh, yes, we know Hank. This is great. And he comes over and he like kind of vaguely recognizes us because he's probably aware of the BookTube community. We ask him a couple quick questions and then we're like, can we get a selfie? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I turn my monopod around that has like a mic attached to it and I whip it around and the mic goes flying off and falls right next to his feet.
Oh my god,
I was mortified. So I picked that up and then swing the thing around to take a really quick selfie, and I take the most awkward, terrible selfie of all time. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm really close to the camera, so like half my mouth is in it. And it's a great picture of Kat and Hank. And then there's me at the front of the camera lens. And it looks like I was photoshopped in because the lighting is different and I look so ridiculous. And that is my memory of meeting Hank. That's all I remember about it. I just block it out. This is what happens with embarrassing situations. I block them out. So it took a lot to even remember any of these.
Yeah, I can't really remember a lot of embarrassing celebrity encounters. Honestly, I think most of them are with you. like the Hall and Roden situation. Other times have been like Christine and I early on in our YouTube career, like we were asked to interview people on the red carpet. And that is like the most anxiety inducing situation because you're typically at the end of the press line and they're coming down the carpet. They've already gotten their pictures. They already talked to the major press outlets. Like you're getting like randos who are in the films and then you're just having to like call people over. And that's kind of what happened with Holland.
I hate calling people over. So because you just scary.
It's scary and it's also like so demeaning because you're just like, come to me. And it's not a fun situation. So I avoid that situation at all costs now. Not my favorite. I've never met so many celebrities that I have in the last year.
As I have in the last year. Sorry, I'm being like Ross Geller. So you were saying that you've never met so many celebrities as you have in the last year.
Yes. And my new rule is I only approach if their work has meant something to me in some way. And I actually have something to say. That is the only time you should be approaching celebrities.
I feel like a good tip is to, before you go up to them, have like three things in mind to say. Mm-hmm. Because I have gone up to people with something in mind to say. And then that one thing goes very quickly, and then you're just staring at each other. For example, I was at a party at FinCon, and there was Jenna Marbles. And I fucking love Jenna Marbles. Mm-hmm. She's one of, like, the first big YouTubers. And she went to Boston University for her master's. And I went to Boston University. So I saw her and I was like, oh my God, I should go up to her and be like, oh, hey, I went to BU too. My name's Christine. And it'll start a conversation. And of course, I go up to her with a friend. And it's a friend from BU. At the time, I was studying abroad for BU in California. So I was with some of my BU people. And we went up to her together. I was like, oh, hey, you went to BU, right? And she's like, oh yeah. And I was like, yeah, me too.
That's it.
Oh my God. It was like in a like a dancey area too, so it was really loud. And it was just kind of like head bob, head bob, head bob, head bob. And I was like, okay, cool, bye. Like, you imagine that you're just going to start a conversation. But the fact of the matter is, they don't know you. You're coming up out of the blue. So that might take them off guard. And you, like, really like them. So you might blank. So you need, like, 3 points of contact. Yeah. And I find an easy thing to do is compliment something. Yes. That you like, and then sometimes that'll like calm everybody down and break the ice. Like when I met Sarah J. Maas, it was at a signing, and I like complimented her ring, and then she like complimented my face or something, and then we just like started talking. And Sarah is the most easy person to talk to. I feel like we click so well, and it's so nice. It's so fun to talk to her. In situations where you don't know, and you don't know if that's going to work. If Sarah was like a different personality type, maybe it would have gone blank, and you wouldn't need to like start again. So like 3 things. Compliment, something you want to say, something else you want to say.
Sometimes it's so hard to say that in real life. So I went to the Gray Man premiere, which was the movie that premiered this year with Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans. And I went with Tessa. We didn't walk the red carpet. We just kind of went through the side, and then we went into where you get your popcorn and stuff. We were just like kind of waiting in there to see like which friends were going to pop through. And I saw Scott Evans come through the door. And this is Chris Evans' brother, okay? So he's also an actor. However, I've never really seen
anything. Yeah, that he's wouldn't know been if I saw him. But I did see him on like Jimmy Fallon with Chris Evans or something.
That's how I know him. It's like I've seen him like on the late night shows.
I love you in that one interview.
Right? And on Instagram, like when he pranks Chris, like it's hilarious. I love that stuff that he posts. And so I saw him, and usually when I see someone like that, that like I'm like, oh, like I really, you know, like my heart like kind of stops for a second, and then I turn to the person I'm with. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da. and then they're like, who? I'm like, this person. They're like, this. And then I'm like, I think I need to say hi to them. And then it takes me a minute. I'm like, okay, this is the only time I can say hi. And if I miss this chance, then I'm not going to say hi to them, because it's happened to me earlier this year. I was at the Black Phone premiere, and Jamie Campbell Bauer walked right past me, and I saw him, and I was trying to think about like what to say to him, and then he went on the carpet, and I missed my chance, and I will never forget that. Damn it. Anyways, I didn't miss my chance with Scott. And I go up to him and I say, hi Scott, I'm Natasha. And I like shake his hand, and I go, I really love you on Instagram.
Holland, you're like, we love you on Teen After Wolf Talk.
Like, just like, that's not at all what he's known for. And I didn't know how how to put that into words in such a concise manner. And it was just the afterwards, I'm like, yeah, you and your brother are so funny. And he's like, oh, thank you. He's like, yeah, he's on the carpet right now. I'm like, cool. And then I didn't realize it, but he's going to be in the upcoming Barbie movie. And I'm like, fuck, I could have said that.
It's like if I went up to you and I was like, Natasha, I love you on Facebook.
Anyways, I haven't told that story to anyone yet because it's so embarrassing.
Glad you saved it for the pod. I mean, I've had a million embarrassing encounters, but like it's more what I don't say than what I do say. I met Cassandra Clare the first time at a signing, and it went great because she was like, oh my god, your videos, and like it was the first time we had interacted, and it was great, and it was only a 30-second interaction. So this is usually like a safe situation when you have expectations for a 30-second interaction. And I would say most of the time, if you manage your expectations for that, you have a great experience. Like when we met Tom Holland, it was the best night ever. And it was so thrilling. And all he did was come over, say hi, and take a selfie. But it was like one of the best moments ever. I felt like I was just like floating. Like I collapsed after. We had just expectations of nothing or just like waving or seeing his face. And we got a picture with him and his face was like this close. I'm sorry, an inch away from mine. You guys can't see. But this selfie is, we are so thrilled. We're wearing masks, but our eyes are like, this is the best moment of our lives.
Well, and he took a beat and like was like, hi, how you guys doing? And
Yeah.
Like that was so nice.
That was so nice, and it was a beautiful moment.
Yes.
We met Spider-Man.
We did.
If you have expectations like that, if you're not imagining yourselves being best friends after this 1 minute interaction or like after you have a chat with them, you have a much, much better experience. It's these expectations that you want to make a connection that makes it so it could go really bad.
That's why, like, I don't want to meet, like, my most favorite celebrities because I feel like it would just, like, I don't want to meet Henry Cavill. Like, I just want to see him from afar, you know? I don't want to have that interaction because it might ruin the, like, fantasy that I have in my head of, like, oh, my gosh, you're an actor. I love you. And I don't want to, no.
Like, you don't need it. Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
Well, because they're all like, they're all real people. And it's hard to approach someone within such a short amount of time and have a meaningful connection.
Yes.
Unless that person is also willing to have a meaningful connection. But usually they're meeting so many people that point, and it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And all you can really do is say, hi, I love your work. Let's get a picture. Okay, bye.
Yeah. That's what with these very famous people, that's the case. The thing is, when you're meeting internet people, a lot of the times, like, they want to meet you and talk to you, but they're also meeting a lot of people. So if you don't come with something to say and they're not good at, you know, maybe they have social anxiety, you know, a lot of us on the internet do, it's hard, and you want to make a meaningful connection and they do too, but like something just doesn't click and it doesn't happen. And that's where you get like these awkward moments. Like, I met Grace Helbig at another party thing.
Helbig.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I never say her last name. I met Grace, like Daily Grace, and I knew that she did UCB. And so, like, I had that one point of conversation that I was like, okay, I'm going to start a conversation with Grace. I'm going to say hi. And I went up to her and I was like, I said that and I blacked out. I have no idea what happened. I just remember not knowing what to say next. And I literally don't remember. I remember this is the night I drank the most in my life. I had two whiskeys and I remember feeling dizzy and being like, I hate this. I don't drink. I hate drinking. I hate the way it makes me feel. And that's all I can remember from that night, like saying hi to Grace and it going poorly and her being nice, but me not knowing what to say at all. And those whiskeys. So the 3 points of communication, having them ready, I think that's a really good plan. I also met Nina Dobrev. I was interviewing her for something. And, you know, I don't know if she was in a bad mood or if I was just super anxious, but I was ready with my Vampire Diaries love. I was like, hey, I loved you in Vampire. She was like, oh, really? Oh, like, that's really nice. And it went really dead.
Blink, blink.
Blink, 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 blink.
I remember this, and I was like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, she could have been really tired. It could have been, like, her millionth interview. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I met Robert Sheehan because I was interviewing him, and I got to tell him that I loved him in City of Bones. And he is so fun and so easy to talk to, and I'm, like, so glad I got in that little City of Bones snippet. And he was like, oh, really? I can't do his Irish accent. Like, that's crazy that you know that and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my god, I'm such a huge fan of the books.
Oh my gosh. So recently, I was at the School of Good and Evil premiere, and Tessa and like a group of us were like at the bottom of the carpet, and I got to see Leigh Bardugo and Victoria Aveyard and Marie Lu, and we were just like chatting, kind of like waiting for people to like come by so before we go into the theater. And we looked over to the front of the theater, and there's like this beautiful girl in this like big white like poofy dress, and her hair is like up in this high pony with a braid, and she's wearing sunglasses and opera gloves. Like, she was a whole vibe, and we made this whole story about her as we were watching her, because she was like getting on the floor taking pictures. We're like, oh yeah, she's definitely an influencer. Like, I want to see this content. Like, I know it's going to be good. As we make our way up into theater, she's like still like squatting in the corner with a guy that she's with her sunglasses on and everything. And then Tess and I make our way over. We're like, we just come at her with so much energy because we just had like the time of our lives making up this story. And we're like, we just have to tell you, like, you look so incredible. Like, the poses you've been doing, like, it's just been amazing. And like, we made a whole story about you down there. And it was so fun watching you. And she was so sweet. She goes, oh my gosh, thank you so, so much. And we just keep chatting, blah, blah, blah. And I go and ask her, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to follow you on Instagram so I can see this content that you've been working hard at. And then she's like, yeah, just type in A-U-I-L. And it should be the first one that comes up. And I look at my phone and it's Ali'i Cravalho, who plays Moana. And I'm like looking back and forth my phone to her. And I'm like, wait, what? And she goes, yeah, that's me. And I'm like, you're Moana. And she goes, yeah, hi, I'm Ali'i. We didn't know who she was because she had sunglasses on.
But also, like, Moana's a cartoon, so you are not used to seeing her face.
That's true. That was like a really great experience because she had just so much positive energy and she was so, so sweet. We ended up taking like these sassy pictures. A great time. A+ experience. That was all recently too, like last month. So
yeah. I mean, the thing is, it depends on the person, and everyone's a person is something really you guys always remember, and they've done a lot of stuff during their day and you have no idea what happened before you met them or talked to them or saw them. They could have met like 50 bajillion people before you and they feel sick and they haven't eaten and all this stuff. I wanted to ask you if you can walk me through this Vincent Rodriguez time, because oh, I think God. I blacked out during this.
You don't remember this?
I remember being like, I don't want to talk to him. We were at a party, so I didn't want to be like the fangirl at the party. So these are the cast of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was at Comic-Con, and we love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Love. We were literally walking in front of Hall H, and Scott Michael Foster had been walking the opposite way, and he plays Nathaniel Plimpton from like season 2 on.
Did we chase after him?
I saw him and I'm like, I think that was Scott Michael Foster. And I literally turn around and I'm like, Scott!
Oh!
Like, scream his name. But this was a good encounter because he was so excited to be like recognized. And
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do, because I felt so good about it afterwards. and he's like,
I remember being there.
He's like, hi. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're such huge fans of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Like, we're going to see the live show. And he's like, yeah, we're actually going to go rehearse it right now. And we're like, oh, we don't want to keep you any longer. He's like, no, that's okay. And I'm like, oh, is it okay if we could like to get a picture? So he was giving us like a lot of great energy because we
got a picture.
We did. We have a picture.
No.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. I think.
Wait, send me that picture. I have no memory of that.
Okay.
I was so embarrassed. I think I just can't call out to people. And I'm like, no.
Afterwards, you're like, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. I have no memory. I just blacked out.
So we are at this party that we got invited to. And it's usually party. It's usually just like a bunch of authors at this party. But apparently he knows authors and he was there. There was like some.
Okay, not him, though. This is Josh Chan.
This is Josh Chan.
From the show Vincent Rodriguez III.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
So Josh Chan was just talking to people like feet away from us at this party.
And Christine and I were like, all right, we need to go up and say hi to him. Like, we've already had this experience.
No, but I didn't want to say hi, like, in a fangirl way. And so I didn't want to, like, I wanted to, like, if we're going to say hi, I want to do, like, the friend connection thing.
Lol. And I was like, no, I think we should go and tell him how big of fans we are of the show. Because this is, like, at this time, I was, like, trying to test different theories of, like, how people would connect with us. And since, like, we had a good reaction from Scott, I was like, oh, maybe Vincent will be the same way. No. And we tried. The thing is that we went up to him and we came at him. I came at him. It was me. Because I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was not me.
We're such huge fans of, like, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And we're in, like, this, like, really calm party setting, by the way. And, like, oh, my gosh, we love you in the show, blah, blah, blah. And we're just, like, showering him with fangirl love. And
I was just silent, I feel like.
You were nodding along and you were, like, very animated along with me. I do remember this.
Yeah, because I was just like, this is not the path I wanted to take. This is not the path I wanted to take. Because we're going to be stuck in the room with him.
And, yeah, it wasn't well received. I don't know if that was...
I mean, he was nice. He moved on.
Yeah.
Like, because
he didn't want to have, like, a chat. It was more of just, like, thank you, okay, bye. And then I think we started...
Well, I have a friend who's friends with him. So I also was going to be, like, I was going to say something like that, but it was too late after we fangirled.
Well, I think we went up to him again, and I think you tried to bring in that connection.
No. Yeah. No, I didn't. No, yeah, I didn't. I think we did not go up to him again.
No, we were in a group. No, we were in a group together. I think we were talking to him again.
No, we didn't.
Yes.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Yes. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We definitely talked to him twice.
No, no, no. No, no, no.
Yeah, so that was a very cringe situation.
The thing to remember about all of this is that they have no memory of these things. Like, they meet too many people to ever remember these weird things, but it's just, like, me that haunts me. Oh, God. Before we move on to the next question, I want to ask you, are there any other Twilight experiences you have to share? Because you met a lot of the Twilight actors.
Yeah,
Natasha.
I know. I've met everyone from the Twilight cast multiple times, whether that be in a situation where we got to talk to them for a long time, or it was on a red carpet and I'm screaming their name in their face. I have so many. The one that I wrote down, because I feel like I've never talked about this story before, was Peter Facinelli was in Orange County for some reason. He was at this, like, festival. And at this point in time, like, anytime these actors did an appearance that was remotely close to me, I was there. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. I was there. And he... at the time, he was partnered with Alex's Lemonade Stand, and it was like a nonprofit, like, cancer foundation. And so he was doing an appearance. My friend at the time and I, we were shopping the day before, and we saw these like little lemon soaps, and we're like, oh, wouldn't that be cute, like, if we brought them to, like, the photo op and we took pictures with lemons, because it's, like, for Alex's Lemonade. So we get up there and, like, we're chatting, and at this point he kind of recognizes us because we've been to multiple things, okay? And we have these lemons for you, like, let's take pictures together. We take the picture, and then we're just chatting afterwards, and then he goes to, like, bite it. He's like, oh, we're like, oh, it's soap.
Oh,
and
God.
So yeah, Yeah, so we gave us a soapy lemon to Peter Facinelli, who plays Carlisle Cullen in Twilight, and he took a bite out of it.
But did he actually bite
yes,
it?
Yes, he did.
Did he actually bite it?
He did. Oh, he like chomped it and got it on his teeth.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was and he's all like,
"You missed that part." I thought he just went to take a bite of it.
No, he actually
bit into it.
He actually bit into the soapy lemon, and then the soap
that's
like,
disgusting.
Like stuck on his teeth, and we're trying to like play it off. It was bad.
Mm, yuck. That's one of those like I'd just be like mortified, like never look at me again.
For some reason, we were fine afterwards.
I'll never forget this other time.
Is this about me? Oh no, what did I do?
It was the first time we were hanging out. Obviously it was the Vampire Academy red carpet time, and Dom Sherwood, he already recognized me from my YouTube videos that I'd made about the Vampire Academy movie, and had said something and pointed at me while he was on stage doing the panel or something.
Oh yes.
And so did Zoe. She was like, "Oh yeah, and
you're the
like,
girl.
Oh my god, yeah, that's me." And then we were at this party where they were at, you saw Dom. We were like, "Should we go talk to him?" And to get his attention, you're like, "Hey, I think you know my friend." Pointed to me.
No.
He was being pulled away for a photo, and it was like the most awkward 10 seconds.
No.
I was shaking my head. Like, no.
That was what I used to do.
So this was in 2014, at the beginning of 2014.
This is because of Twilight. It's because Twilight, because those actors remembered me, and it ingrained in my head that every person I met remembered me.
I mean, to Dom's, I can't remember
credit
because now I'm all anxious. To Dom's credit, he always remembers me. Like every time I see him, he's like, "Oh, hey, like yeah. It's you again." And I'm like, "Yeah, hi." Because I've done a bunch of videos with him now, and he's always super nice. And like Kat, it's always like, "Hey, Christine," and Emerald, like they're so cool. That this is a great cast.
Oh God, I remember something.
What?
So I went to the Teen Choice Awards. This is another Twilight story. I went to the Teen Choice Awards. I was a seat filler, okay? This is my second year doing this. I was like 16 years old. And I was with another like Twilight friend because all the Twilight cast was going to be there. This was night went down in infamy in my head. Like everyone at school wanted to know about it, okay? And
everyone at school wanted to know about it.
They wanted to know about it. Oh my gosh. They had placed me in this row. And my favorite actor from Twilight was Kellan Lutz. And he and his like little brother had sat right in front of me. And at this point,
why did you know his little brother?
Oh, I knew everything about Kellan. Not anymore. But I used to know everything about him. Wait.
You still know? You've forgotten.
Oh, the weird thing about Kellan is, the weird connection I have is that one of my good friends, Kellan is her brother-in-law, and they live in the same town over from me now, and it's weird now, so I have to, like, just block it all out of my memory. Okay, so I was 16. I think I had met Kellan, like, 3 or 4 times before this, and, again, making the assumption that he knows who I am. He sat right in front of me, and I, like, went to tap on his shoulder, and I'm like, "Hi, Kellan, it's Natasha." And, like, he gets up, and, like he gives me a hug, and I'm like, "Oh, my God, he remembers me." And I sat behind him the entire time at that show, and it was so hard. Like, I don't, what was he thinking? Like, this weird, crazy fangirl who was, like, sitting behind me, and, like, he introduced me to his little brother. And then at that point, they had like brought in the Vampire Diaries cast. Taylor Swift was in front. This whole night was crazy.
My favorite part of this seat filler story, though, is the picture.
It's the picture
that
afterwards.
You posted.
So I
will have to post this picture on Patreon. So yes. Send it to me so I can post it.
I will. Because that night I had scoured the internet for like pictures from to see, like, because you're not allowed a camera or your phone. And so like I had to go about telling a story, and people like were like at school, they're like, no, that didn't happen. And then I found the picture, and then the thing is, in the picture I'm this little itty bitty
like,
dot.
She's like, that's me.
The main focus of the picture is Ashley Green, Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift. In the right-hand corner, you can see Kellan Lutz in the corner, and then behind him is me. And I have arrows pointing specifically to me saying, that's me, and then an arrow pointing to Kellan Lutz saying, that's Kellan. And I posted it on Facebook. I was like, look, world, look where I was.
That grain of sand is me.
You can tell it's me, though. You can.
It was just, like, such a funny picture because you're, like, this tiny dot in the background. And there's all these, like, arrows and stuff.
Oh, God.
But it is crazy that Taylor Swift is right in the front of the picture.
And I didn't care right about it. I literally didn't care about her. I only cared about Kellan.
Is there a celebrity or person you really admire that you watch or listen to that you still want to meet? And how do you imagine that meeting going? Do you imagine it like a 30-second, like, hi, I love your work, take a picture? Or do you still, like, have this fantasy of talking to them and, like, becoming friends? Because as much as I don't want to, like, set up these expectations of meeting Taylor Swift and becoming friends, I have dreams about meeting Taylor Swift and becoming friends literally all the time. Oh, like, gosh. I had a dream that I invited her and Joe to Thanksgiving, and they came to Thanksgiving, and like we didn't have something they liked to eat, and I was like, Mom, I was like so upset. And my mother needed to make something else for Taylor and Joe. And I had a dream literally last night. So I don't know if it's because I knew we were going to be talking about this that I was thinking about it. But I had a dream that I like had met Taylor and we were like just staying in a hotel together going on some adventure.
That's so fun.
I know. I have dreams like this all the time. Mm-hmm. And we always just like become friends really quickly because it's my dream. Like, I had a dream once that I went to her concert, and then, like, afterward, we hung out. I had a dream that she came to my high school, and then, like, we hung out. I have it all the time. If I ever actually meet Taylor, I hope that I have the ability to speak. I hope that, like, it's a good interaction, but any interaction, literally. So I savor this interaction that I had with her during the Reputation tour where I was a speck of dust in the crowd. And she came over us on one of those wires in a basket. And she made, quote, eye contact with me as she went over our heads. And I felt so seen by Taylor Swift. I started to cry. I was like, I just made eye contact with Taylor Swift. So yeah, I'd still love, I want to meet Taylor Swift someday in my life.
I do too. Even though on an earlier show I said I don't want to meet Henry Cavill, like I still in my mind want to meet Henry Cavill. And
it's hard to quell that dream.
He's definitely someone I still have dreams about. He's in a very committed relationship. When he was single, I was like, I'm so down. I have a lot more stories, but that was just...
We might have to do another episode.
Yeah.
Because I have other stories too. We do have to move on to our Fork, Marry, Kill of the Week.
Yay!
So this week, I have a Marvel-themed FML, and the choices are Iron Man, Cap, or Star-Lord. Who are you gonna fuck, marry, kill in this situation?
It's FMK. It's not fuck my life.
Oh, did I say FML?
Yes. Iron Man, Cap, or Star-Lord. Okay, well, you love Iron Man so much for some reason. I love him as much. I'm gonna marry Cap. Now I'm trying to figure out who do I kill. Star-Lord. I'm not too crazy about sharing a ship with like multiple people and like traveling through space. That sounds terrifying to me. So I'd rather not be hitched to that. I'm murdering Star-Lord. I'm marrying Captain America and I'm kissing Iron Man.
Okay, so say it again. You're marrying Cap, you're kissing Iron Man, and you're murdering Star-Lord is what you're doing.
Yes.
I'm going to marry Iron Man, obviously. I am going to kiss Star-Lord and I'm going to murder Cap because he gets on my nerves. He's grown on me by the end, but like I really have fun with Iron Man and Star-Lord.
He's so hot.
They're all hot.
That's true.
They're all very attractive people. So we're about to move into our ACOTAR section where we're rereading A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about chapters 3 and 4 this week. Next week will be chapters 5 and 6. And after this, we'll be recording our Fangirl Tea Time, which is our Patreon-only segment. I have a mastermind story to share today. And Natasha has a story as well. So we're excited to talk about that in our Fangirl Tea Time section. But right now, we're about to move into ACOTAR, which we're loving. Okay. So chapters 3 and 4. Let's start with obviously chapter 3. Natasha, you didn't put any notes in here, so I don't know.
It's in my notes app. I just forgot to transfer them, so I have a lot of notes this time.
So we're going into the town square to sell the pelts that in the last chapter, Feyre murdered the wolf and the deer, and she's about to sell the wolf pelt, which is actually a fairy's. On the way, the first thing that I noticed was the Children of the Blessed we encounter. Yeah. So these are like high fae worshiper fanatics, almost like a cult. It hit me as strange that we, as far as I remember, we don't see them again. And there's a lot of setup in this chapter that feels like foreshadowing, but then we don't really see any of it again. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of exposition about the world that made me think about Crescent City. Don't confirm or deny anything. Do you have any thoughts on these Children of the Blessed?
I feel like a lot of what they were saying was foreshadowing, at least. So I have like, they said, may the immortal light shine upon these sisters. And I thought that was interesting. The Children of the Blessed were wearing silver bells. And I can't, the Fae don't like iron.
I don't really remember anything about silver.
Yeah.
I mean, was it supposed to call the Fae to them or something?
I think so. Did Feyre
kind of allude to?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, do we see the like silver later? I don't think it was a big point. So I'm like, okay, these Children of the Blessed don't have a lot of things right about the Fae.
Yeah. It's kind of like they don't know what they're worshiping, really. They're just kind of going off of myth and what they've heard from stories.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of exposition. There's a sentence that says, for millennia, we were slaves to the high fae. We built them temples to their feral gods and sprawling cities until the humans rebelled. And it just all sounds very familiar to the plot that we're seeing happen in Crescent City, which is different but similar because there are fae and there are sprawling cities and the humans are the lowest caste of society, and they are, I think, used as slaves in a lot of situations, and they are rebelling. That's what's happening. So I don't know exactly how these connect, but it is a very similar underarching story that's happening there. And it makes me think that, you know, if that world is this world, like millennia ago, and if, you know, the other monsters and such have died off and the Fae were like the over winning species in whatever war goes down, because we do have these creatures of great power in the ACOTAR series, like Amren and like the Weaver and like the monster that we see in the library that are so powerful and we don't really understand them. It's interesting. It's all very interesting. And I don't want to be spoiled, so I don't want to like go into it deeply, but I couldn't help thinking about it. So another point I wanted to talk about was this mercenary that we get a lot of detail about this mercenary. And it makes us think that they're going to come back. And they never do. But she's like, somebody gave me money like this once when I needed it.
Yeah. I put down, I'm like, oh, this is Gwendolyn Christie for some reason. Like, this is her.
It does feel like Gwendolyn
I'm like,
Christie.
She's just sitting there going to tell the story to Feyre. And I'm like, what is the point of this character aside from the fact of, like, giving her money and also, like, warning her of, like weird types of fae?
Of fae.
Like coming through the line.
Coming through
the wall. The wall, yeah. And then that kind of puts us on a path of education that there's just more, there's more than one fae. It's like there's more different
all
types
different
of...
All different types of fae. If you don't remember, this is the mercenary that buys the pelts from her and she overpays. And my thinking here was that she knew that that was a fae pelt. It sets it up like she comes back, she's going to come back around in some way. And so it got me thinking, like, is she a character from another universe that I'm just not putting together? But like, I racked my brain and no one really came to mind here. So I don't know.
I was like, is this Bryce? Doesn't make any sense.
Isaac Hale, he seems to be like the catch of the town, is the guy that Feyre is just like having a friends with benefits relationship with. He's the oldest son of the wealthiest farm family in the area. All these characters just kind of dissipate very quickly.
Yeah. I forgot someone was like Isaac Hale, that literally is the same name of Isaac in Teen Wolf.
Oh my god. Really? I hated that character.
But that's the same name. Yeah, I thought it was interesting also, like, towards the end of chapter 4, who's Nesta marrying?
Nesta's not going to marry anybody, but Tomas is the person that she wanted to marry, but his dad beats his
wife.
That's
it. Okay, I was getting those two mixed up. But is Isaac marrying somebody? Like, that's what was talked about.
Yes,
in this.
But we don't know who it is.
Yeah
he has a marriage being arranged for him.
I also thought it was interesting, like, the droughts that they take.
Oh yeah, the birth control
childproof
the birth control like drinks that they make,
that they can
concoctions,
they can be taken by both men and women. I'm like, oh, how convenient.
That's nice. So in the next chapter, in chapter 4, is when Tamlin shows up in his big beast form and, like, knocks in the door. And he comes in just yelling about his dead friend. And he doesn't specify that his friend was in wolf form. And it's like, how were they supposed to know? And also, I wanted Feyre to be like, hey, we're starving to death. And he was about to eat the only food. And that is why I felt like I had to in order to live. Like, she didn't explain anything. It was him or her. Mm-hmm. And I wish she said something to that effect.
I mean, what can you do when you have a big, gigantic beast? Which, by the way, when I think of Tamlin, I think of, like, the beast from Beauty and the Beast. But it's more than that. Because he looks like a feline horse, which is what she said, with a wolf face, elk-like horns, and then black claws and fangs. And I'm like,
he's a very weird mashup of different animals.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of beast-like because the beast does have horns.
Yeah, it's true. And
he has a lion-ish look, which is feline.
Mm-hmm. And then the wolf face, which I guess is like the beast. Her father comes forward, like limps on forward to try to come in between Feyre and the beast, which I thought was like, oh, yay, someone cares about Feyre.
But did he? He was almost like, go. I feel like
that's true.
He didn't say much. He like started to say something. He was like, my youngest. And then it was just, that was it. That was his attempt. He was like, bye. Yeah. Never mind. Don't kill me.
And like at that time, like the Feyre's only concern was her family. Like she still put herself in front of her family. Well, the other.
Yeah, she had her knives.
Yeah, well, they just like willingly cowered and Nesta like protected Elaine and
she was ready to fight. Like she had her knives and she was like, okay, his neck looks like the best place for this to land.
What did you think when her father was like, you're too good and to never come back?
I like that he said that. I think he doesn't want her to have to live this life where she's doing everything for them. And as long as she's there, it seems like they're going to be taking advantage of it. He wants her to get out and do her own thing instead of living only for them, which is what she's doing. Like, so I understand the sentiment with perspective, but in the moment, I would have been so hurt if my parents said that to me.
Oh, for sure.
We end the chapter with Tamlin taking Feyre. If you have any thoughts or feedback that you'd like us to discuss, please feel free to email us at thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And this is going to wrap up our show today. But before we go, we want to remind you to follow the podcast for free on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Instagram at @thoseforkingfangirls. Follow us on Twitter at @ForkFangirlsPod, or I think we have TikTok, but nothing on it yet, @ThoseForkingFangirls. If you are watching this on YouTube, we have been alternating posting on either of our channels. I am youtube.com/PolandBananasBooks, and Natasha is youtube.com/TashaPolis. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we have to add? Did I get our wrap up?
I think you did.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And don't forget that we have Patreon perks if you want to check those out. Patreon.com/ThoseForkingFangirls.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to episode 3.
We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.